regular basis.
Okay, so tonight I wanted to speak about Two Bob, and I wanted to speak about several aspects of it. But so let's begin by noting a very famous idea from the B'nai Yisachar. The B'nai Yisachar says that the idea of Tu B'Av and the ideas of Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat are related to each other. They have similar concepts. How are they similar? In that they both represent the 40 days before the conception of a child. We are told that 40 days before the conception of a child, a voice comes out in heaven and says that this child is going to be born in 40 days. And 40 days after both Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av are respectively the 25th of Adar and the 25th of Elul. Now, what's the significance of the 25th of Av and the 25th of Elul? Because if you hold that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of creation, the beginning of this cycle of existence, so then the Bria, the creation, began on the 25th of Elul, and man was created on the Friday, which Rosh Hashanah can no longer come out on Friday now, day and age, but on the Friday following, in other words, Aleph Tishrei, was the day on which man was created. Now, if you hold the world is created, that's like Rabbi Eliezer holds the world is created in Tishrei. If you hold like Rabbi Yehoshua, that the world was created in Nisan, so then, again, the creation began on 25th of Adar. Man was created on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the 40 days beforehand was Tu B'Shvat. Okay, so they represent Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av, respectively, the 40 days before the conception, when the idea of conception of this new person is instituted. That's really what they represent. So there is, I believe, a difference, of course, between the nature of Tu B'Shvat and the nature of Tu B'Av. What's the difference between the nature of the two? Holidays? So the difference would be, I believe, that on Tu B'Shvat we celebrate trees, and on Tu B'Av, what do we celebrate? So Chazal tell us that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were no happier days for Klal Yisrael than for Jewish people than Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Why? Because on Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, those were the days on which the girls used to make circles and everybody used to go out to see them dance, and they would choose their shidduch. So, and there's a whole thing that describes the end of Gemara Tainus about how these the circles took place. Now, besides that, there are many other things which happened on Tu B'Av. In the course of Jewish history, we'll come to them in a few moments, perhaps. But right now, I wanted to note that the symbol for Tu B'Av is therefore a circle. It's a ring, a dancing circle. It's called a machol in Hebrew. The symbol for Tu B'Shvat is a tree. A tree is straight. So a very big difference between the circular nature of Tu B'Av and the straight nature of Tu B'Shvat. What's the difference? So the Mekubalim say there were two arrays in which the world was created. We know, in a simplistic way, we know that initially the world was intended to be created with Midat Sadin, with the attributes of judgment, and then it was created, in fact, with Midat Sarachamim, the attributes of kindness, mixed in. Generally speaking, the understanding is that the initial Bria in Din is the Bria in Tishrei. In other words, that Rabbi Yehoshua, who holds the world is created in, sorry, Rabbi Lezen, holds the world is created in Tishrei, that corresponds to the creation in Din. Rabbi Yehoshua holds the world is created in Nisan, that corresponds to the creation world with the mixed in Rachamim. In Kabbalah, they take this further. And they say initially the original array of the spheros of the ways in which Hashem related to the world was one which is called igulim, round. And afterwards, that didn't work out, and then the world is created with spheros of yosher, straight. So what's the difference? So in the spheros of igulim, there is an equality which goes around the entire circle. And everywhere you have the same relationship to the circle as everywhere else in that band. When you have the line, and the line you have to think about as a line going into the circle, so then there are relative levels, higher and lower. And they're closer to the, so to speak, rim of the circle, and they're further away from the rim of the circle until you get to the center of the circle. Now, what's the difference between the two of these? At the time, and according to the concept of the spheros of Igulim, the round spheros, the world would have been created with harsh judgment. Why would it be created with harsh judgment? Because at that point, if there is universal and equal recognition of the Creator, and we assume of His master plan for creation, then there's much more responsibility on a person. He is held far more accountable because he has much higher revelation. We've seen history was like that. The generations which had higher degrees of revelation were held more accountable than generations who had lower degrees of revelation. So what we see is that there would have been a world where everything was judged harshly because of that equilibrium. And there's an allusion to that where Chazal say, Svivosa Nisora Ma'od, around Hashem. There's a lot of storminess, but the way Chazal make a drush on this, the Nisora, they learn, Hashem is Medakte Kechut HaSa'ora. He's meticulous to a hairbreadth in the judgment of those who surround him. Those who are around him in that proximity represented by that circle. So the idea of Sfiros Igulim, the Talmud Dvorah says, or Moshe Cordovero, says, really according to Din, according to strict judgment, if a person would, let's say, stick up his hand to pluck a fruit from a tree on Shabbat, so then immediately, his hand should shrivel up. He shouldn't have no capacity to use his hand anymore. Because how can a hand rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It should not have any chiyus, any life force in it if it's being used to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The punishment should be immediate and harsh. That when I stretch out my hand to take something off a tree on Shabbos, my hand does not immediately shrivel up and become paralyzed. It's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a kindness. It's one of the midos called Erech HaPayim. One of the 13 attributes of mercy, Hashem extends, so to speak, his anger, and he lets things slide, hoping that a person is going to do tshuva. But in Sfiros, in the level of Igulim, that would not have been the case. Now, in the level of Yosher, however, which is when there you have this straight line, so then there are gradations, and different generations and different people have different levels of responsibility. Yes, if you're high up there, so you're one of the first generations, so one of the very great people, so then you have a high level of responsibility. But those of us who are further down, further away from the rim of the circle, which represents the connection with Hashem, who's beyond, so then the further away you get, the less responsibility, the more rachmonis there is for you, the more kindness. Okay? Now, what would have been a higher level manifestation of Hashem's love? The level of Igulim or the level of Yosher? Why do I ask this question? Because the two components, the two major periods of the year, which we have, the high holiday period in Tishrei and the period of Pesach in Nisan, they represent two different relationships which we have with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. The two different relationships are Yira, awe, or fear, and Ahava, love. So then this is represented very, very immediately by the Megillahs which are read on Sukkot, and the Megillahs which is read on Pesach. The Megillah we read on Sukkot is Koheles. Koheles is all about how nothing in this world is worthwhile, except Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, at the end where everything is heard, it's Elokim Yirah, that's Mitzvot of Shmar, fear of Hashem, and keep His mitzvahs, Kizek Kol Adam. Yirat Hashem. On Pesach, we read Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is all about the love between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now here's a very important point, which is that even though we read on Sukkot, about Koheles, which is kind of like would seem depressing or fear inspiring, but Sukkot is called Zman Simchaseinu. Not Pesach, not Shavuos, of course not Yom Kippur, but Sukkot is called Zman Simchaseinu. Because in our perspective, it's not Ava or Yira which brings a person more to Simcha, and if one of them does, it's Yira. Why? Because what does Yira mean? It means you are afraid of something or in awe of something, and we usually like to use the word awe. If you're in awe of something, it's because you have a special appreciation of that thing. If you have a special appreciation of that thing, that means you possess a special object or a special relationship. If you have a special object or a special relationship, that means that obviously you have something to be happy about. So you can love something, you can love from a distance, and you will have no connection to it. But you and love, therefore, sometimes leads to love sickness, as Shir Sherman says, Ki cholas ava ani. But when you have the type of awe we're talking about, the awe of Hashem, or the awe of the fear of sinning, you're at hate. So that means you have something very precious which you want to preserve, and you feel good about that precious thing. Rabbi Avraham Elie Kaplan gives a marshal to a father who on Simchas Torah is dancing with his child held in his shoulder, on his shoulders, sending a person dancing with a Sefer Torah. You have something which you have trepidation about, that it shouldn't fall. It's very precious. But at the same time, you have Simcha, that you possess it, you have a connection to it. And the Talmud of Eliyahu says, Ani aresi mitos simchasi v'samachti mitos yirasi. I had fear out of my awe, and awe out of my fear, meaning that the two of them are related. And there are many other psukim which teach that as well. So the point is that simcha doesn't necessarily play a role in this dichotomy between yira and ava. You can have simcha one way and simcha the other way, and it's not necessarily correlated specifically to one of those two traits. But let's talk about which would be love and which would be awe. Now, they have to come together. You can't have love of Hashem without coming to awe of Hashem. You can't have awe of Hashem without coming to love of Hashem. It's a cycle. Pesach is Ahava. Yosh Hashanah is Yira. So Pesach is Ahava. It was represented by the middle of the month, when there's a full moon, the most symbolic of a perfect relationship, a close relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael. That's why now Pesach is called Leil Shimurim, it has special qualities. Rosh Hashanah takes place at the beginning of the month, when there is no moon. So it's covered. Why? Because the relationship is now just being forged every year anew. It doesn't necessarily exist intrinsically until it's built up on Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is primarily Yira, awe, fear, judgment, and Pesach is primarily Ava, love, and close connection and intimacy. But the difference between Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat is the exact opposite, meaning that Tu B'Av represents the love, and in many of its meanings, many of its things that it commemorates things which were shidduch related, such as the circles and dances where they used to pick the wives, and also such as the Gemara says that when the daughters of Tzlafchad were granted inheritance, so then for a certain amount of time, the Shvatim were not allowed, girls who inherited land had to marry boys from their own Shevet. So the land would not leave to go to another Shevet by marriage. But the day, we don't know exactly when history this was abolished, but the day it was abolished was Tu B'Av. There's another aspect of Tu B'Av, is that after the episode at the end of Sefer Shoftim, a Pilegish B'Giva, where there was this horrific rape and murder, so there, the Jewish people, the rest of the Shvatim, the civil war, the rest of the Shvatim banned intermarriage with the tribe of Yamin until the time when they decided, no, they're going to allow it again, and that was on Tu B'Av. So the Tu B'Av is related to this Ava, ben Adam Lamokom, and ben Adam L'Chaveiro. It's also the day on which the Meisei Midbar stopped. In other words, it says, the Medrash says that every Tisha B'Av they used to dig graves in the desert, lie in the graves, all 600,000 men, and then next morning, whatever it was, 15,000 would not get up. Everybody else will get up. So that last year in the desert, when they anticipated the last 15,000 to be killed, I guess they only had those 15,000 left, so only they went out and dug their graves. Actually, each year was a diminishing number of graves dug. And they lay down, and they got up. And so at first they thought, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe this is not really Tisha B'Av. Until finally the moon was full of Tu B'Av, so they knew they hadn't made a mistake. So that was called the day in which they realized, the chesed of Hashem, that the Meitei Midbar, the people who died in the desert, were no longer being killed, the last year got off. And that demonstrates the restoration of the relationship between Am Yisrael and Hashem. That was between Hashem and Am Yisrael. There's another aspect of Tu B'Av, which is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which it says that on Tu B'Av, now already the days are getting significantly shorter. And therefore, the Gemara has time that says, now you have, from now, Tu B'Av, you have an obligation to learn at night. Because now the nights are longer, the days are shorter, nights are longer. Till now it was hard to learn at night because then the days are very long. Now, from now on, you have to learn at night a little bit every night. So that is the renewal, the relationship of Am Yisrael to Hashem by our learning His Torah. And it's learning at night is also a kind of more romantic relationship, I guess we could say, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rambam says that most of your Torah, which you learn more effectively at night, because that's when their mind is clear. But in any event, the idea of Tu B'Av is the idea of Ahava. The idea of Tu B'Shvat is a time of Yira, and that's why it's a Rosh Hashanah Li'ilonos. There's no judgment on Tu B'Av. There's a judgment on Tu B'Shvat. On Tu B'Shvat, there's a judgment for the trees, and we know that the person is Nimshol, is likened to a tree, Adam Eitz HaSadeh, as the Pasuk tells us in Parashat Ki Tetzeh. So we have this judgment on Tu B'Shvat, which is an episode of Yira, of awe, of trepidation, when the Bria is nervous about what's going to happen to it during the coming year from Tu B'Shvat to Tu B'Shvat. So what is he telling us? That before the time of conception for Rosh Hashanah was a time of Ava, even though Rosh Hashanah is a time of Yira. And the time of conception, not time of conception, the announcement of conception, sorry. The announcement of the conception, the idea behind Tu B'Av is Ava and serves as a prelude for the creation of Din, of Yira, on Rosh Hashanah. In Tishrei, conversely, you have the time of judgment of Din, which is Tu B'Shvat, which precedes the time of love, so to speak, of Pesach. So this seems to be counterintuitive. You would probably have a Yira day before Yira time, and an Ava day before Ava time. So obviously, there's a message here. And the message is that the greater love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifest in giving us greater responsibility and greater ramifications for the things that we do. And therefore, when we come to the time of Yira, it's really a time which holds us up for examination and says, you are special. You're Tzelem Elohim. You're created to resemble Hashem. Let's see if you have stood up to what that demands from you. That time of Rosh Hashanah, therefore, is really a time which emerges from the love which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. At the time of Tu B'Shvat, however, that's the time when which precedes Ahava, and that's the time of year. Why? Because Hashem, so to speak, said, you know, this world cannot exist with judgment, and therefore, even though I should make this clear, the Maharal says that the machloik is between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, when the world is created, they're both right. The world is created conceptually in Tishrei. That's the ideal. The world is created practically in Nisan. That's the reality. So what happens is that from the perspective of judgment, so then which man is not capable in this world with all of its temptations and difficulties of being able to withstand a constant level of responsibility, constant level of significance, and therefore we have a time of Nisan, which is Akob Shoim Techaseha Ahava. On all sins, love covers up. And this shouldn't be that way. It should be that even in a state of love, of intimacy, a person has a sense of everything counts, everything matters, everything is significant. But a reality is that love transcends a person's deficits, a person's shortcomings. And when you're in love with somebody, you don't really perceive, or you shove under the carpet as much as you can with the faults which the other person has. So, again, Tu B'Av represents in and of itself the spheres of Iglim, the roundness, which means a relationship, a very, very universal and very connected relationship with Hashem, no matter where you are in creation, you are in part of that circle. Whereas the time of Rosh Hashanah with the tree, with the straight line, represents gradation, closer and further. And therefore, Tu B'Av represents Ahava, love, a special relationship, and Tu B'Shvat represents Yira, a relationship which there is a distance, and the distance which creates, in this case, a sense of awe and fear and trepidation. So, but each one precedes the antithesis. The Tu B'Av precedes the antithesis, which is the din of Rosh Hashanah, the judgment, and the high, awesome holidays. And whereas Tu B'Shvat represents that connection to the conceptualization of the creation with love. So what we see from this is that there's an integral connection between Yira and Ava and Ava and Yira. And one without the other is not appropriate. Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu was considered the Bechira Avos, the exemplary of the three Avos. Now, of course, each one was exemplified something else. But Yaakov, because Avram represented Chesed, which is Ahava, and Yitzchak represented Gevura, which is Yira. And so the way Rav Putner explains them, Ava is expansive. Yira is contractive, retractive. So that's alluded to and says, lo yeh small doicha, the last distances, We mean mekarevus, and the right brings near. So the, how does the right bring near? It expands out and brings in. How does the left stop? By contracting and saying no. So the idea of Yaakov Avinu is to combine in harmony these two midos. Avram was Ava to the utmost. Yitzchak was Yira to the utmost. Yaakov is the merger and the harmonious balance between the two. So Ava without Yira is not insufficient, and Yira without Ava is insufficient. But specifically, because this time of Tu B'Av is a time of Ava, a time of love, which preceded the initial thought of creation, that's why it's a very sensitive time, the month of, for sinna, for hatred. Now, this is an important point to make, which is the 15th day of the month, most Jewish holidays, except for Rosh Hashanah, occur, well, there's a couple of them, but most stark one is Rosh Hashanah, they occur in the middle of the month. And because the middle of the month, again, when the moon is at its full, that represents the height of the month, the main time of the month, so to speak. So, Tu B'Av is the ideal level of Av. But because the ideal level of Av is this love between ourselves and Hashem, if in this month there is sinas chinam, there is detestation of other people, of your fellow human being, of Hashem, chas v'sholem on both, then that the potential devastation is much greater. And that's why Tisha B'Av occurs in Av. It's interesting because Av, we call Menachem Av, because Hashem is our Father, and He consoles, supposed to consoles, and He wants to consoles, and there is this great love, but He can't do it because we still are in a state of Sinat Chino, still in a state of baseless hatred. So, the Tzaddik says that Asid Lavo, eventually there's going to be a seven-day holiday, just like all other holidays are 7 days, which is going to begin on Tisha B'Av and end on Tu B'Av. Tisha B'Av will be the first day, and Tu B'Av will be the last day. And this obviously will be the onset of the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, the time when we'll celebrate when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. In order to get there has to be the Tikkun for Sinas Chinam. Now, it's late, so I don't want to get into Sinas Chinam in great detail, but the Siddur Otzar Tzilos, which is a standard Siddur with commentaries, reprinted many, many times, and the commentary Dover Sholom on the Al-Chek, which we say on Yom Kippur, Al-Chek Shem Tanu Vanecha, the Sinas Chinam, he points out that Sinas Chinam is pervasive, and people don't even realize it, because when even two friends, if one friend is making more money, the other friend gets jealous. He says, "Tu tamid chachamim." If one gets more covered, the other person is jealous. One has been able to say a better share, the other one is jealous. Two craftsmen, there's always some sense of competition between them, which brings about, of course, the midah of kinah, of jealousy. And there is always this trait, even a human being who's not aware of it, in which he doesn't look at his friend and say, "I want it to be as successful as possible, because then it makes me feel bad that I'm not as successful." And that is, says the Siddur Otzatilos, the Dover Shalom, that's Sinas Chinam. He doesn't deserve to be. You're really not hating him because something's wrong with him. You're hating him because it reminds you of your own deficit. So that is not an appropriate reason to dislike somebody else. So the that Sinas Chinam, it's certainly something which is still alive and well, unfortunately, within Amishol. So how is it rectified? So I forget who said this, perhaps it was Rav Cook, I don't remember. I think Rav Cook, I'm not sure who said it, but there's a common saying that the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, and it will be rebuilt because of Avas Chinam. It was destroyed because of hatred for naught, and it will be rebuilt because of love for naught. So whoever made the statement said, there is no such thing as Avas Chinam. Sinas Chinam there is. There's no such thing as Avas Chinam. There's hatred for no reason, which emerges from me to you, even though you don't deserve it. But you always deserve love. If you're a Rogerian, counselor in the tradition of Carl Rogers, so he always is called unconditional positive regard. And unconditional positive regard, Rabbi Avraham Elikapa says, is due to any human being as created in Sanam Elohim, no matter who they are. If Hashem loves that person enough to create him and sustain him, so then I don't know how much love we can feel, because we don't have the greatness of emotion and greatness of mind perhaps to function the way we should. But even to that person, the way he puts it, he's due love as an Adam Basheru Adam, as a person. And certainly Am Yisrael, there is no such thing as Avos Kinam, because every Jew is precious. Right? Each and every Jew is an entire world. So therefore, there's no such thing as love for no reason. There's always good reason to love. What we're supposed to do is focus on our feelings of thinking towards our peers, because that's the most difficult, is focus on how we sometimes, unaware of ourselves, feel slighted by other people's success, if they get more honor, respect, fame, accomplishment, so on and so forth, and work on eradicating that tendency and being genuinely happy when that person is has something good going on with him. There's an amazing idea from the Alter from Slobodka. Alter from Slobodka says, you know, really, this is a real literature idea, he says, it's how love being misameh chasim akala. So let's make chasim akala happy. So, you know, what reason to be happy in this world? This world is a miserable place. So why is that love being misameh chasim akala? You really should go and tell them, someday you're going to drop dead, and you better do tshuva, repent before it's too late. But you have to do sameach chasim v'kala. Why? Because you have to do what's necessary in order for you to facilitate the emotions they are having. That ava of another person is not because of nosei b'olim chaveru, bearing the burden to friend, but the idea is similar. Even if that person is doing something or has an emotion which perhaps makes no sense, but you are supposed to be able to be in a place where you're able to contribute positively to that positive emotion in that other person. And certainly, and this is very hard, because let's say you go to somebody else's simcha and you feel, oh, I deserve simcha in my heart. I deserve simcha in my life. No, you have to make sure not to feel that way, but to feel complete participation and unity in that person's simcha at the time he's celebrating it. So, again, because Tu B'Av represents that love, which is at the core of Hashem's creating the world, and the world in conceptualization was conceived as a notion of love, of Hashem is the source of love, and he wanted an entity in which to bestow his love. He wanted it to be mature love, tough love, so to speak, where the person earns that love, where mankind earns that love, but it was a sense of love. So I'll put it, Nis'ave HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yos Lo Dira B'Tachtonim. Hashem had a desire, a taiva, to have a dwelling place down below. That's why this month is particularly sensitive to Sinat Chinam, to detestation and hatred, and that's why it was the time when the Beit HaMikdash was most likely to be destroyed as a result of such errors, and that's why it was destroyed during this time. And so eventually, the greatest Yom Tov will be the time when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. Elsewhere, Rav Tzadik says, a little bit of contradiction, but elsewhere, Rav Tzadik says that the 22 days between Shiva Sarva Tammuz and Tisha B'Av are corresponding to 22 days between Rosh Hashanah and Simchas Torah. And that eventually there's going to be a Yom Tov and those 22 days, similar Yom Tov pattern, similar to the Yom Tov pattern of the Yom HaNoraim time. Well, okay, so that leaves out the next holidays, the 7 days between Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av, but God, sorry here. But in any event, the point is that this is the way it gets rebuilt. It gets rebuilt by Ava. Ava, which we begin on Tu B'Av by learning more, and more especially Ava ben Adam l'chaveru, which means not to feel good when something good happens to somebody else. And, you know, it was very auspicious, of course, that today was, it wasn't yesterday, even though yesterday was the Siyum HaShat. But today really was last Blat Nida, and tomorrow on Tubav starts Brachos, Daf Beis, and Daf Yomi. Why? Because perhaps this will be the cycle, which means Mashiach, who knows. But this unity, which came about, I wasn't there last night. I had a conference of a close comedy that I had to go to, and I said, it gave me a lot of nachas, personally, even though I had to miss out on the Siyum HaShat. But the Achdus of Limud Torah, Yisrael Araisa B'Kudsha B'Richu Chadu, Torah and Hashem and us, we're all connected, and we're all the connectors for each other. Torah unites us with Hashem, Hashem unites us with Torah, that everything is interconnected. So we should be, the merit, as we come towards Rosh Hashanah, as we come to the time when we have to stand with Din, as the time we have to stand in judgment, to work on our love of Hashem, our love of Torah, and thereby fix that which still required fixing to bring about Binyan Beis HaMikdash in Heri Amenu Amen.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Please send my regards to the Rebbetzin.
Okay, will do. Have a good night and a good Shabbos. Take care.
Thank you, Shabbos.